Well, will you turn with me this evening to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28 and verse 6. To start with, Matthew 28, verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Want to talk this evening, the theme of a message, a great joy to be spread. The first, there are three instructions in this one chapter, which essentially say, go and tell. Go and tell. We've considered in our two meetings together already, on Friday, the cost of our salvation, the price that was to be paid. This morning, the peace that the resurrection of Christ brings to us, his death and resurrection, what it means, peace with God, peace in life, peace when facing the reality of death. Isn't this an amazing message? What a price paid by our Saviour. What a wonderful victory won over death and hell and sin. Is it not amazing? Should we not be telling people of the wonderful things that we know to be true? There is a joyful message to be given. There is a joy to be spread. And the message is, primarily, as it is here, he is risen. We are perhaps very much tied to saying Jesus died, and perhaps we don't very often say Jesus lives. This is the true distinguishing feature of Christian faith. As we said this morning, everybody dies. There is only one who has risen again. There is only one who has defeated death. We had a visit recently from friends who were working with Muslims in Birmingham, and they said one of the things they have to do as a part of the agency they're working with is give out this film known as the Jesus film. And the brother shared with me his personal reservation about this film. And he said, in fact, he gave it to a Muslim who watched it and gave it back and said, well, thank you. It really moved me. It brought me to tears, said this Muslim man. But it just confirmed my view that Jesus is a man who suffered a lot. That's what these things tend to lead to. Jesus died. More important to say, Jesus lives. When we take the message of the gospel to other people, we must be reminding ourselves and them, he is God. He is the creator, the sustainer, the King of kings. He lives and he reigns. The Christian life is a reality, it's a living relationship with a living God. And not only is he risen, but he is active. The angel says, he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. He has to do with us in our daily lives. He meets us in prayer, in his word, in the events of our daily life. By the Spirit he assists us. And in every aspect of our life, he's always gone before us. He's gone before them into Galilee. But in every trouble and trial in life, he's gone before us already. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's all about. He knows about pain and suffering. He knows even about facing death because he's done it himself. Nothing we face that he has not faced and that he does not know about. And the angel says, go quickly. It's an urgent message. It's important. It takes priority over any other matter that might be to hand at the time. And they do go quickly. Now, you might be familiar with the passages in the New Testament speaking of the resurrection. And you might read them all and think, well, how do they all fit together? Do they conflict against one another? Well, no. And I think, as we said before, the fact that the messages in the four gospel accounts don't perfectly fit together shows us that they are true. Because if they were false, they would all be exactly the same. Four men sat in a room and copied out exactly the same story so that everyone would think it was true. These are four different accounts of the same thing. And there are several events, several visits to the tomb, several activities that go on. But there is no contradiction. There is only different information in each of the four Gospels. The Marys, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they go to the tomb more than once. They go first alone, then they go up with Peter and John. And verse 9 picks up as they go to the disciples a second time. They've already gone out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and run to bring his disciples word. And now as they have been back with Peter and John and they come back a second time, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. They've been told that he is risen. He meets them and says, rejoice. Rejoice. And they have even more fervently to tell what they've seen with their own eyes. And he says to them directly, do not be afraid, verse 10, go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Go and tell. We mustn't forget, when we have a gospel message to proclaim, that first of all we are to encourage one another with it. Go and tell my brethren, he says. Not just go and tell everyone in the street. Go and tell them what's going on. That I'm risen, that I'm going before them to Galilee. Go and tell them. We must spread joy amongst ourselves to encourage one another, to equip one another, to enable one another to have knowledge of the wonderful things God has done. Has God done something wonderful for you? Well, you must tell. You have an experience of God, a blessed time in the Word, an answer to prayer, a blessing, even some sort of miracle, because God does miracles. He does wonderful things. Well, what's the good of it if you don't tell anyone about it? You've got to tell your brothers and sisters in Christ what the Lord has done. Above all, we've got to remind one another, he is risen. Now, some churches have that over the pulpit. He is risen. And if you go in for having texts over the pulpit, I say it's a very, very good text to have. He is risen. Needs to be told. We need to be reminded. And then it's the third go and tell. The disciples have gone to Galilee, 11 of them, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. That's down in verse 16. And they go. And there's an implication, really, that there's probably more than just them there at that time. Maybe many. Maybe this is the time, as recorded elsewhere, that he appears to 500 or more at once. We don't know. This is after several other appearances. This is after what we looked at this morning, John chapter 20, when they're hidden in the room, locked in for fear of the Jews, and he appears in the middle of them and says, peace to you. This is a little later on. Every account brings new information. The Lord Jesus appears to them where he says he will. They saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, doesn't this just remind us that there's no superhuman in the Church of God? The disciples, they've already seen him. They've seen his hands and his feet. They've touched him. And still, after several appearances, we read that some doubted. We may struggle with doubt in our lives and with difficulty. Doesn't mean that we're not the children of God. The disciples even doubt now. Well, I think we may expect that we can struggle ourselves sometimes. And he gives to them what is known as the Great Commission. This is the big one. This is the big go and tell. And firstly, I want to say this. The Great Commission is for every Christian believer. It's not just for preachers or ministers or elders or those who are appointed in some way within the church. It's for every Christian believer. And you might say, well, I always thought that anyway. Well, wonderful, but there's plenty of people out there who don't, and plenty of people who teach something quite different. Firstly, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. His authority, his power, it's been given to him in all places, at all times, in all ways. But why is he speaking like this? You might wonder. He has just risen from the dead. Why does he say this? He's God. Yes, but he's also a man. He is God and man, so he must say it again. He must remind, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I am a man. I am also the living God. I am God the Son. He has submitted himself to his Father's will. He's earned eternal life by perfect, humiliating obedience to his own law. He has earned the power to forgive sins, the power to gather to himself a people, the church, the power to rule the church, the power to grant eternal life. And it's all tied up with his death and resurrection. And now he declares his power and authority, the power of God, the awesome power of God and his wonderful works. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, everywhere, in all times, in all places. I am. That's what he is saying. I am. I am God. And it's a wonderful thought. And it's glorious. And it's majestic. And you can't help perhaps but feel that were you there, you might bow at his feet. This King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But then amazingly, he delegates. He delegates his authority. The authority of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, and he delegates it. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Go to other men, to every living soul upon the face of the earth, and make disciples. How? By telling them. Mark has more of this account in 16:15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is the good news. Jesus lives. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go and tell. You go and tell. Do you see the order here in what he says, by the way? Just out of interest, but it's important. Go and make disciples of all the nations. First, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Second, baptism is for believers. Baptism is for those who have repented and believed. Those who have now publicly said that they are following Christ. And the baptism is a sign of that, is a public witness to that. Now all the old worthies who believe in infant baptism, they say, oh yes, this follows. But then they say it doesn't apply to children. Well, why ever not? It seems very simple to me, very plain to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Tell them. They profess faith. They are baptized. And so they argue, well, children are a great part of any nation, so we should baptize them. Yes, but so are unbelievers, and you don't baptize them, do you? It's disciples who are baptized. Those who say that they are followers of Christ. It's the plainest and simplest command of Christ. I've heard many times at baptism, the man performing the baptism will say something like, at the express command of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord and head of this church, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the plainest, simplest commands that Christ ever gave. And yet how complicated we make it. What is baptism? Well, that's a subject for another time. And maybe we can revisit that particularly another time. But by delegated authority, isn't it wonderful? By delegated authority, the authority of Christ himself, we are to go and tell the good news to all nations, all types of people, all skin colours, all languages, all cultures. We have such a message of reconciliation with God, of peace, of joy, of eternal hope. We have a message that is unique. You can be confident in that. You have a message that is unique. There is no one else in the world other than the follower of Christ who will be saying, only believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. There's not one cult in the world that will say that. Not one false religion in the world that will say that. They will all say, do this or do that or do something else to please God. It's a unique message. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour, who was born, who lived, who died, who rose again, who ascended into heaven, who lives to intercede for us. Believe. And it's also an authenticated message by the Word of God itself, by the testimony of Christian believers, by their lives and the things that they say. It's also a fresh message. Especially today. Especially today. I was thinking about this. And you think about how exciting and fresh this message was at the time when these things happened. Jesus of Nazareth, he that was crucified, he who said he was the Son of God, well, he is the Son of God, and he lives. And he has made atonement for sin. He has made the way. He is the Messiah. This message is fresh and exciting. Well, guess what? Today, more than ever, nobody in this country has a clue who Jesus Christ is. They don't know what he's done. They don't know what his word says. You won't be faced in the hole if you go and tell by dazzling intellectuals or well-informed nominal Christians. The culture of our country is dying. The culture of nominal Anglican church going is dying. You're not going to be faced by people who think they're Christians on the whole. You're just going to be faced by pure ignorance. Complete ignorance of Christ and of what he's done. And of who he is, the message is fresh. The message will be new to most people who hear it. Your gospel message has probably not been heard by the man next door because he never heard it in school. You might have done. He never heard it in Sunday school because he never went because there wasn't one. You might have gone. Never went to a gospel church because there probably wasn't one. And there aren't that many. Now, more than ever, this message is new, fresh, and distinct. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Tell them. Tell them. Make disciples of all the nations. What is a disciple? Someone who follows after someone else. Someone who sits at the feet of that one to learn. Those who follow Christ. submitted to his teaching. And what we do is point to him. Follow him. Not follow me. Follow him. And he leads his people on. And the wonderful thing is, it doesn't depend upon us. Jesus says, go and make disciples. It doesn't depend on us. It's his work. He will work in people's hearts. Some people will refuse. We must let God be God. Disciples, make disciples. And he says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Teaching them. Well, my friends, isn't it obvious that we actually need to know what Jesus Christ has said ourselves? We need to know what his word says. We need to know what the Christian faith is all about. It's not necessarily always the case that you can take someone along to church to hear the preaching of God's word. You may have to teach someone yourself. You need to know. We do teach one another. We have friendships. We have what is often called discipling. If you want to go and tell, you've got to be grounded in the truth yourself. Also, you've got to be consistent. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. You observe what Christ has commanded yourself. Otherwise, how could you tell anyone else that they should? I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I think you should be a Christian. Here is the message. And the person turns around and says, yes, but you don't actually live like that. You've got to be consistent. There's something else here again about order of things. Can you see it? Go and make disciples. Someone professes faith in Christ. Baptizing them. That person who professes faith is baptized. And then, teaching them. Teaching them. We don't bombard people with all the information under the sun all at once. In fact, this is very much what the church is for. The church is for this function of teaching them. We don't fill people's brains with every fact under the sun. We've got to get out there first with the first message, which is this. He is risen. He died. He lives. He is God. You've got to bow the knee to him. We've got to make the proclamation. Sound the trumpet. Warn people if we need to. He died. He lives. He reigns. He rules. He's coming back. And he will judge me. And he will surely judge you also. The living and the dead. Well, who do these words apply to? The Great Commission. I said it applies to all Christians, and that's right. We put it in context and we see that first of all it's to the apostles, the 11 disciples, they're there. He's speaking to them and perhaps to others also, a wider circle. And they had a special and specific set of tasks that God gave them to do, and they did them. They had unique knowledge and mighty gifts of the Spirit, authenticating sign gifts, signs and wonders. But this commission is not only for the 11 apostles. Paul was an apostle. He's not there. It applies to him too. What this is all about is above all the work of the church and each Christian as a part of the church. It isn't just a bit of evangelism. You don't make disciples, baptize and teach all that Christ commanded on the corner of the street. It's more than that. It's more than someone just saying, yes, I believe. And it's not individualistic either. It's corporate. It's something we do together. He says to them, you all go. You go off together. You do these things. It's corporate. There is a point, you see, in bringing people in to hear the word of God preached by those who are called and gifted to preach it. But we also know, and we see here quite plainly, that preceding this is an individual life, a witness, some contact, a word in season. Why is it that sometimes when churches have evangelistic meetings that believers don't bother to come? Oh, I don't need to hear that. I already know. I'm already a Christian. That's a sad misunderstanding. We are one body, different members of the same body. And when we do things, we do it together. We proclaim as his people together that he is risen. But he doesn't leave them without encouragement. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I am with you always, he says, my people, my church. The Father has given them into my hand. I am with you always. The living, the risen Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, who promises to be with us, who is with us because he's alive today, who can be with us because he lives today. My friends, if you are a child of God, then today, perhaps above all days, but it should be every Lord's Day, every Sunday, you have a great and deep joy in the facts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, then let us obey him and go and tell. Let us tell one another what great things the Lord has done for us. Let us remind one another that he is risen. Let us go out and make disciples, God helping us. And let us do it all together. As we close tonight, shall we sing 464. Go forth and tell, O Church of God, awake, God's saving news to all the nations take. 464.